So we're moving quickly into our teaching. And we have been having conversations on this for just a few weeks, if I will say. And I'm hoping that today's teaching is going to be short. Somebody say, hey, can we trust this? You want to trust God's Spirit? Okay. So, like we always do, we are going to take it a bit further. We have been dealing with unwavering consecration to the core. I'm just hoping that you are putting to practice the things that I taught you. I'm just hoping. And I believe your best, so I would want to believe that you are putting into practice the things that are being taught you. And like I said, we'll just take it a bit further. We have been looking at unwavering consecration to the core. And I could just get in right into it and spill it all out. But I got to realize that we had been having not too clear understanding on this subject. So I couldn't just tell you that you had to give yourself consecrationally. But this conversation needs to be taken from a place. Because if we do not take it from a place, we're not going to have clear-cut understanding of the things that we ought to do. And sometimes we could just say, I think this conversation is not my own. Have you gone into a teaching meeting and you hear that the preacher may be teaching and explaining, and then the person says, tell them. Tell them. I'm like, but you're in the teaching service. And they are teaching us. But then, you are saying, them. Who are the them? Eh? Who are the them? So, I had to take it from that point so that we don't have a conversation like, I think, Charlie, the sermon pastor they preached for this week, it be for the apostles, no. Charlie, I wouldn't even hear the normal church members. But you see, I'm including everybody. God's word is including everybody. So we do not have any exclusions. I had very interesting people who, whenever they saw me when I was on campus, they also Michelle. How many of us have people like that? And some seem to have, in quotes, the call on their face. So when you see them, I'm trying to clean my face so that I'll ask you a question. When you see them, they have the call on their face. Like their voice. Oh, how many of you have seen someone? You see him now, he's a man of God. He has a twisted feet with one longer than the other. So when he appears, nobody should tell you. So take your seats. And so you're that probably, you know, nice person, very gentle. Yes, please, sir. Yes, please, ma'am. And then say, Charlie, me, this thing is not for me. But in these sessions, we get to see how that God requires all of us giving ourselves to this responsibility. And there was no other place we could get into than from the beginning. Because right from the beginning, there's going to be clarity of what God's original intent for man was. So, while in fact it's good for you to have all the things that you have and to do all the things that you ought to do, it is very important for you not to miss this. Because we can get so very much busy with several other things. And then we forget the reason why we were created. I believe these are going to be, or these kinds of messages is going to be one of the messages I'll be preaching for the rest of my life. I believe it's a call for me as well. Is to, even when you look at the ministry, is making lives truly purposeful. So, we are on this to make sure it happens. So if you are here, like I said, the first time I started teaching, I said, God intends that you listen to what I'm teaching you. So like I said, we got back into Genesis, of course, the book of the beginning, to find out what's the original intent of God? You know, sometimes you always have to go back. In fact, often you have to go back to find out what was the reason. Because some of us have a skill of using many things for things or for purposes that they were not created for. The girls are skilled at doing that. For multiple purposes. One dress can serve multiple purposes. One time I met a very smart guy. He said, Charlie, this man of God saying, you for not worry yourself, just get black suits, black trousers, blue-black suits, blue-black trousers. Then you get some ash suits. Ash trousers. If you wear the black plus the blue black, if you wear the black plus the black, if you wear the black plus the ash, if you wear the ash plus the black, so every day they go see you for the colors. Said, that's smart. So I'm giving you, some of you who are suffering to buy every time, just buy black and buy brown and buy ash. They all fit. You mix them together. The seamstress has an intent for sewing a blue-black suit and a blue-black trouser. The intent is to wear it together. But sometimes we can have other intents and it fits very fine. So in Genesis chapter 1, we took time looking at how that man is consecrated to reflect God's likeness, God's character. Genesis chapter 2, we went to see also how that God gave an instruction to man to dress and to keep. In Genesis chapter number 3, we saw figuratively how that God will come to man, and his intent to man was to have a relationship with him. It's not different with us. That's why I take time to say, it's not different with you. And then the fourth one, we looked at how that man was consecrated to obey God. Now, right from the beginning, these were major instructions, aside the fact that God told man to leave his mother, cleave to his wife, two shall become one. That's quite another conversation. Then he tells him to eat of every, tree, right? And to eat of every thing that he had created. But then, these are major instructions given to man. And so, if we want to understand why man was created in the first place, and what this call is about, I said the call was a ceremony, right? What this call was about, it means that we cannot forget the beginning. And that's why we took time paying attention to the beginning. We also took time paying attention to how that man's responsibility, more on emphasis now, was to dress and to keep the garden, right? To dress meant that he was given the responsibility to work, to serve. To keep the garden meant that he was given the opportunity to protect, to guard. And we said these two duties were what? Priestly duties. They were priestly duties. So man was created by God to be a priest, number one. We took time also looking at some of the priestly duties. We said some of these duties were that the priest was supposed to offer sacrifices, right? Yes. He also was supposed to offer thanksgiving and worship. He was supposed to charge them as a keeper of the temple. He was supposed to teach and make sure that the values that were concerned, or the values that were consistent with God's word, was kept in the temple. Right? Great. So, you get to realize that the priest was also a watchman. Somebody who could stand and watch. We gave out all of these things and what they meant to us today. So, if you're as a believer, is not doing this, you cannot be in God's plan. I say this again. If you're not doing this, you cannot be in God's plan. That's why I took you, to the beginning, to know why God created us as his people. And I trust that this is going to be a blessing to us. So there are priestly duties, like we said last week. There are duties to keep as a priest. And all of these things we must strive to keep. You know, I just had something to share with you also. And before we get into exploring another segment, quickly. And all of these duties of watching, which is prayer, intercession, teaching, discipleship, sacrifice, worship, thanksgiving. There are times that as a priest, fatigue, what I call, begins to set in. Have you met somebody say, I was actually working on this when I had a message yesterday, someone shared with me, someone said, lost the fire. And I was like, oh, that's very correctable. Because you must know what to do. So there's certain times, sort of like, in quote, a spiritual lethargy or laziness begins to set in. To stop you from fulfilling what God has asked you to fulfill. Which is his sermon, his call to you. What do you do? You serve. In that time, I believe, because they were humans, that priests will wake up and say, Charlie, today, I wish I would not enter into that temple. I just want to lay in my bed, right? But at that time, you couldn't do that as a priest. You're going to get into trouble. Because of you, the whole nation's sacrifice cannot be offered because you are in bed. That is what happens. In fact, that was a major fall of Saul's ministry. He was supposed to wait for a priest to appear. Do not offer sacrifices, O Saul. So he waits with the people. The people say, offer. Where is he? Where is the priest? He has kept us waiting all this while. What are we going to do? We've been standing here, see, we are tired. And Saul listened to the voice of the people. Then he offered the sacrifice. The moment he offered the sacrifice, Samuel the prophet appeared. Then he said, Saul, why did you offer sacrifices when you were supposed not to? You know what Saul said? God help us. He said, the people that you gave me, they are the people that forced me to offer. Take your seats. Now see this. He was not supposed to. He was not supposed to. But he did. Now you are supposed to. I hope you are. Those were duties that God called sacred. Who's to be a watchman? You are it. But you are looking for money. You see? You're supposed to be a teacher and a preacher. But you say, you are not having time. So there are times where this lethargy begins to set in. But we must know and not allow it. Are you listening? So what do you do in these times before we get into a real conversation? Listen to me. Number one, write it. Stand your ground and declare your place. Stand your ground and declare your place. Okay, so right, stand your ground, know your place, and declare your place. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 6. You know, sometimes we don't know our place. The time we are not praying, watching, interceding, teaching, evangelizing, preaching is a time we feel very bad. We try to hide. That's the time we don't know who we are. See, Lord, I've not had my devotion for over 4 months now. So, I don't think this church thing is mine. I don't think it's for me. I think it's for those who are very sanctimonious. No, I'm telling you, do not forget that everybody has this call. So I'm teaching you how to go about this when this sets in. You're going to stand your ground. Know your place. And speak your place. Declare your place. This is what it says in Ephesians 1 verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted. See, Lord, I've been away for a very long time. He calls you accepted. In the beloved. So, many times, you will have to know, no matter how I feel, no matter how in quotes tired I am, God still loves me and he expects me performing those priestly duties. He's not chastising me or punishing me. He loves me. And I can tell you, this happens to everyone. So you're going to know your place. See, it's not about your prayer that makes God or God related to you. Not about that. Prayer has a function. But foundationally, you are related to Him and He loves you whether or not you pray. But your not praying has its own consequences that He is not responsible for. You're not having your morning devotion has its consequences. You're going to get into the day with your soul very loud, confused, anxious. You're going to say, God is the one. No, God isn't the one. That was there because you had to receive from Him every single day. That's put there. Your devotions are put there. So that you can hear what He's saying to you in the day. You can hear what He's telling you. He can tell you, no, that step is not a good step. Yes, go in that direction. Stay here. Don't do that thing. But if you don't have a devotion, if you don't have a prayer life, that is going to be dangerous. Your attention. So all of these things are put to your benefit, people of God, for your benefit. You're not going to know the good things He has in store for you. You're not going to know the people you need to pray for. You're not going to know the people you need to be talking to. You're not going to know who needs your prayer. So I came to tell someone. Get back at it. And it's for everyone. So everyone is called God's priest. You're not going to know which souls to pray for. You're not even going to pray for them. So stand your ground. God loves you. That's why He has called me. That's why He's called me to be His priest. It's because of His great love that He calls you to come and serve Him. Do you know that if you don't really love somebody, if you are experienced, you know what I'm talking about, you will not want the person serving you. No. No. If you don't trust somebody, how would you want them serving you? How are you going to get them serving you? But when somebody is serving you and you are fine, it means you love the person. Somebody shared with me a very sad story how that a person's wife, take your seat, was responsible for his death. Can you imagine? A person's wife, I mean, the world is serious. For many years, was the reason for his death. Confirmed. Caught poisoning continually. So when God calls you to Himself and be my priest, it's because He has great love for you. I'm not saying I saw it on TV. I'm saying I know it. So you're going to stand your ground, declare your place. God loves me. That's why He's called me to offer sacrifices, to be continually thankful. You know, to stand as a watchman. God, trust me. God, trust me. That's why He put me here. He trusts me. That's why He called me to be His priest. Number two, pay no heed to your emotions. Your emotions are going to be loud. You don't even feel prayerful. No, it's not feelings. There are things to be done. And so we get up and we do them. Pay no heed to your emotions. Do it. So while in fact you're standing your ground, you know your place, you're declaring your place, you know, you say things like, I am accepted and I know that very well. It's not based on my faithfulness. It's based on His faithfulness. And that is why I will be faithful to what He wants me faithful to. Then you find out your watchman duties. Hey, I was working at a place. The watchman was known for sleeping. Like when he comes to work, around maybe 10, 10, 10. You just see that he just rolls the mat like this. He just rolls the mat. I'm telling you something. He just rolls the mat. The mat, you see the mat going like this. Then it will end. Then you see that because the place closes by 10:30, there's already sleep in his eyes. So he just stands and just watches. When you just take like 2 minutes walk. One time we went to a place, we saw a watchman sleeping. We thought he would wake up. We stood there, he didn't wake up. We stood there for a few seconds, he didn't still wake up. Then we now had to tap him, like, Charlie, there's somebody standing in front. He said, oh, who are you? Watchman. So you're going to pay no heed to your emotions. Don't say, I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like coming to church. I don't feel like... I just didn't feel like brushing our teeth today. Some of you even brushed twice. You're going to pay no heed to your emotions. How I feel. How am I feeling? Going to pay attention to your emotions. And then, number three, see, while we are here, others are, it could have been you. Sunday morning. You are jamming. You see, it could have been us. Let's thank God, because it's not. And that's why we'll also go out there. I think sometimes as a church, when we come, we just out. Yes. Sunday morning, you are dressed. See that we'll pass here. Others will pass here. Others will look here. Imagine if we are going to the place they are doing all of that. And we go to start preaching. Yes. Go start preaching. And there's somebody who cannot hear. And the person's ears pops open. Yes. The next week, the whole church will be full. To the maximum. And to the overflow. So, there are things that we must do. So, number three, you're going to release your faith by praying out loud. Pray out loud. Take your seats. Pray out loud. During these times where it feels like you're fatigued, spend 5-10 minutes just blast out loud praying in the Spirit. Then you're going to stay in the Word. Just keep listening. To God's word. Hear it over again. Again and again. Speak it again and again and again to yourself. Say it to yourself again and again and again and again. The time you should be away. Never be away from church. Are you listening? Never be away from church. Tell yourself, no matter what happens, I'll find myself amongst the church or in the brethren. Amongst the brethren. Yeah. It's very important. So we're going back, Genesis 1:28, and we're doing this quickly. Next week I'll take time really explaining this. Genesis 1:28. This is another instruction that God gave man. Now, sit very carefully. We're about to do a quick word study, right? So in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, I told you that there were instructions that God gave them. This is one of them. Are you listening? And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So God is giving Adam and Eve an instruction. Make sure that you multiply in all of the earth. Ensure that you are fruitful. Make sure that you replenish the earth. And all of these, subdue it. Means have dominion over it. Subdue it. The word there, they are actually a compound number of words that communicate a truth. Are you listening? So the word subdue there is a word kabash in Hebrew, which implies to tear down, to bring into subjection, and to keep under. It's to tread down, to bring into subjection, to keep under is the word subdue. It's a Hebrew word. And that will mean that, of course, dominion will mean to reign, to rule, to prevail over. Meaning that man in the image of God is a priest, like we said last week, and a king. Do you see that there? And God blessed them. God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue. In context, man is a priestly king. A priestly king. Or what we call a servant ruler. Or a servant king. Remember that one of the words for priests was that they waited, right? So they had the responsibility of service. Now I said that man in the image of God is a priestly king. It means that we all here together, listening to me right now, your function is a priestly king. Now, so that means that a king in God's kingdom is a keeper. You know, one of the reasons or how you see that a people are kept is by their leader. So in the scriptures, a king is a ruler. And I said, a king in God's kingdom is a what? A keeper. Or a what? A shepherd. So in effect, priestly kings are priestly shepherds. Priestly pastors is what God makes Adam and Eve from the beginning. What was his responsibility? Dress and keep. Is it eat and sleep? Oh yeah, there was eat, but there was no sleep. He told him to feel free, just eat. Morning and evening, just eat. If you like afternoon and mid-afternoon, just enjoy yourself. So God still requires this responsibility from us. Now I'm going to show you. Keeper, shepherd. Is the word poimen in Greek. Actually, something in Genesis chapter 4. We are still in Genesis, right? See how the word a keeper. And a keeper is actually a keeper of men. Men, there will be sheep, right? Because if he's a shepherd. How many of us have seen a human's quotes used or words for humans, like you see humans say. Now I'm talking about exactly the way it's supposed to be used, right? Like a shepherd for humans. No, it's used to connote somebody who teaches and preaches or who performs a shepherdorial function. But Humans actually don't have shepherds. Sheep have shepherds. Do you understand? But when we begin to play that function, then we can say, okay, just like the shepherd is to the sheep, I am shepherd over you. Just like Christ is shepherd over all of us. So, you see that? It's a word keeper as well. Let's see Genesis chapter 4. Verse 2. How the word shepherd is used, or pastor is used, or king, or ruler. So you are a ruler. And that rule, please, people of God, that rule is not to rule over NDC. See, I don't have a problem ruling over NDC. I have politician friends. Listen to me. But it's not that exactly that God has called you to do. So, there is economic crisis. Chobwe. Let's go outside. We are rooting for Ghana. We are rooting for Ghana. Now take your seats. That is good. But that's not in the garden. There's a responsibility God gave you. Is to dress and to keep over the people he has set in your space. Are you listening? So he's not talking about economic something. Gender equality. It's not ruler. It's not that kind of a ruler. Because if you do, if it were that kind of a ruler, we would need to have Kwame Nkrumah and all of those here with bad roots and all of that. So he's not exactly talking about that. Let's stay with God's plan. Are you listening? So he's talking about a shepherd. Then he points to you, sheep. See how Cain used that. In Genesis chapter 4, verses number 2. And she again bare his brother, and Abel was a what? A keeper of sheep, right? But Cain was a what? A tiller of the ground. Did we find Abel in God's plan? We did. Why do you think so? He was playing a duty that he was supposed to play. He was a keeper of sheep. Then Abel is a tiller of the ground. See, first Samuel. Chapter 17. Verses number 20. Now David was also a keeper. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a what? With a keeper. That's a fellow keeper, a fellow shepherd. Because he doesn't want anything coming around to hurt the sheep, right? So David was a what? A keeper. And we all know that David figuratively depicts Jesus. So we'll come to that. Not today. But he was a keeper. Let's see Psalm 121. On the Lord himself being a keeper. Psalm 121. Your rulership is in shepherding. Are you listening? Psalm 121. And we're reading from verse 5. Look what David says. The Lord is thy word. Keeper. Now do we say, is it you hear what we say? God is king of all kings. And so we proceeding forth from him are fellow kings with him in his rulership. Are you listening? So the word king there actually is Abba. Shepherd. The Lord is thy keeper. So just like Jesus is, just like God is, we too are. Oh, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Well, he's a keeper. How about you? How about you? How about you? So God gives us a responsibility to be keepers. It means to shepherd, to tend a flock, to pasture its child. To rule. How many of us are in the sea? Like in Genesis, he tells you. Let's go back to Genesis. Verse 128. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue. And have what? Dominion over the fish of the sea. How many of us have dominion over fish of the sea? Like, say the truth. Don't lift up your hand. If not, we'll get you to Labad Beach right now. And we'll expect that you tell all the fishes in Labad Beach to meet us at junction. Somebody
caught the listen.
Meet us at junction. And over the fowl of the air. If not, you won't have to buy chicken. The fowl of the air. You can just summon like, and they will all appear right here. So he's not talking about fowls and fishes and all of that. His rulership is what I'm teaching you. He's ruling and reigning through you is what I'm teaching you. He's a God man now. We should, okay.
Don't let it come to you.
Take your seats. Even now, this fowl, we struggle to catch them. Guinea fowls. My grandmother's guinea fowl escaped some time back. It wasn't good at all. Those birds are difficult to catch. You try to catch them, they can really fly like eagles. So if that's what God is talking about, I expect that people of God, you should have fowls. How many fowls? Can you catch a fowl easily? It's not easy, yo. And nowadays they are even more stubborn. You have cocks? When you do coco, it will come to you. You have fowls? You have dominion over fowls? And fish? Tilapia? You can go at the sea and say, you know, tilapia. Come forth. Come here now. I expect you to be here now. Tilapia, come. Tilapia, come. Tilapia, come. Tilapia, come. I just like tilapia. But you don't have dominion over tilapia. So, take your seats. What he's saying there, actually, is that he's making you a ruler. And he's not talking about fowls. Neither is he talking about birds. No, he's not talking about that. And that's what I'm explaining to you. So, in Genesis 4:2, we see that Abel is keeper of the sheep. David is keeper of sheep. The Lord himself in Psalm 121 is keeper of thy people, of his people. So it's to rule, it's to feed, to associate with, as friends. That's what it means to be shepherd. So your rulership, your fulfillment of this ceremony is going to be seen in you becoming his priest and his shepherd. See how the Lord uses the word. The word is used in Genesis 48. Genesis chapter number 48. And we're reading from verses 15. King, ruler. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life, long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Are you seeing? Look into your Bibles. If not, you won't see it. If I see you not looking into your Bible, I'll ask you, why are you not looking into your Bible? So let me tell you in advance. So look into your Bibles. And next week, when you're coming, bring a Bible. If you don't have a Bible. So he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham, and who? Isaac, and let them grow into a what? A multitude in the midst of what? The earth, right? Do you see that there is multitude in the midst of the earth there? So the blessing is for them to multiply, rule over the people, shepherd the people. Are you listening? Now, see something in Genesis 49. Genesis 49. Man, tise, go, so, man, ke, su, se, bre, dis, cro, to, stay, bra, da, bo, she, pa, po, stole, preti, stambo, stupa. Brata, broto, brege, tabitus, crete, broto, proto, bredi, sada. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Shepherds, keepers, rulers, kings, konomoso, bretekiso, shepherds. So he calls us to rule, to reign, to multiply as shepherds. And you know the popular Psalm 23, we know him as the Lord being our shepherd as well, right? So we also are his pastures, which is his sheep. But just as he does for us, we do for others as well. Are you listening? So we see that there is that call to priests and what? Keepers or what? Shepherds. 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 But today we are looking at kings, like I said. Go to Genesis 17, rather. Verses number 4. Genesis 17, verses number 4. As for me, behold, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of what? Many nations. We like the song, you know, Sons of Abraham. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. I will make thee exceedingly what? Fruitful. And I will make nations of thee. And what? Do we see that? King shall come out of thee. Is it? How many of us are kings? Like, no, naturally. Naturally, you are a king. When they give you curfew, say, go and see. You see whether you are a king or not. Yeah. So, he's not saying that you should stand up and say that. You know, they give some noise ban. Or sometimes they can give some restrictions. What we call a curfew. Everybody should stay in. Right? Then maybe you read Genesis 17 verse 5. You say that. And kings shall come out of thee. So I'm a son of Abraham. I'm a king. So every law, I'm not subject to that law. No. So he says kings are going to come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between them. They shall be actually exceedingly fruitful. And I will establish my covenant between them, me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed. Look at verse 15. And God said unto Abram, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her. And she shall be a mother of what? Nations. Right? Kings of people shall be of her. Kings of people shall be of her. Say, Father Abraham has many sons. As many sons as Father Abraham. I am one of them. Are you one of them? So you are a king? A ruler? Shepherd? Somebody that keeps sheep, somebody that tends for? I think you should sing this one. Father Abraham has many sons. Many sons, Father Abraham, I am one of them, and so are you, and so am I. So, right hand, Father Abraham, has many sons, many sons, Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let us praise the Lord. Take your seats. So you see that? Everybody is a seed of Abraham. Just like you. So am I. Then he calls them. He calls us kings. Then he tells, Sarah, kings of people shall be of her. And I said that is a ruler. Do you see that from Genesis 1? Genesis? Right? Kings, rulers, shepherds, pastors. Now what I'm teaching you this morning is that the call of God is not to some. Just think about it. It's in like 8 billion people. Would you call just 500 strong people to take over? 8 billion and over? Can 500 take over? Do you know 8 billion? Somebody, when I say 8 billion, you are just saying, oh, 8 billion is very possible. Do you know 8 billion? Some of you, we have to stress on this, right? You know, 8 billion is not 500 in your mind. Who knows the population of Ghana? We are about 33 million. Only Ghana. You know how many countries there are? 190. Three of them are not real countries. They are some countries. Yes. So I'm telling you that God has worked for you. He has worked for you. So he calls us shepherds. We have made it look like the call of God. You know, it's some like mystical experience. I'm telling you the truth. I've never heard God call me like Pascal. I have called you. Then I have put my spirit upon you. And today, I am making you a prophet, a pastor of many nations. I have not heard anything like that. Oh, you have heard. Oh, you have heard. Oh, you have heard. Oh, you have heard. Oh, you have to. If you heard, I have to save you. Save you. Now, that does not mean we discard supernatural manifestation. I'm telling you that few people in the whole wide world have experiences of what I'm telling you. You can ask. Few people, I'm telling you. We all are. Yes, everybody. I get blessed by Bishop Dag a lot. It gives me so much comfort to believe that everybody is called. Yes. Because he's one of the most giftless people you can ever find or see. He says that himself. He says that, I'm just repeating what he says. Yes. You might not even want to listen to him if you heard him speak to you. So some of you, I'm telling you that what you have, if you can hold on to this, I'm not sure which church is expanding right now. The churches we see, the level of crusades, the level of camp meetings, the level of teachings from somebody who has not heard something supernatural, spectacular, just believes that God has called him and he wants to help to do what God wants done on the earth. I'm telling you that this is everybody's responsibility. If you can faithfully do it, he says that every time, one of the giftless. In fact, when he started preaching, people were laughing at him. So he was not a preacher. He was just a school teacher. But I'm telling you that if we can all see that God has his call on us to be king, and shepherds, or kings who are shepherds, and people that give out pasture, who tend for the flock. Boy, we're going to be blessed. So these are not true. That you need to hear something, have a certain dream. God should confirm to you. I'm telling you, there are people who have waited for these confirmations. It never came. He has given us his word. And his word is all that we have. And it's the most priceless. You can't even understand what is here. I mean, when I say you can understand, you can't bring to terms the depth that is in this. So I'm telling you, don't wait for anything to tell you that you will do far more. Just believing that God has called me as a priest and as a king. So if are waiting to have certain supernatural. Your bed should shake to the left, move to the right. Be waiting. So he calls us to be rulers. And I told you that thing ruler is not between four Santihini or something. So it means that the first ministry of a shepherd is a ruler. Someone who rules. That's what God has called you to do. That's what God has called you to do. And that's why sometimes there could be misconceptions about shepherding or pastoring. Oh, if you're a pastor, you are supposed to be soft, accommodating any mess, canceling anything that has been done that you told not to do. I said, right now, you take this from the audio. Ghana, we need some form of leadership to bring us to a point. I believe so. So everybody should feel free. Everybody cannot feel free. How do you wake up? One tin of milk is 10 cities here, 15 cities here, 21 cities here. So everybody should feel free. See, we need some kind of rulership. It's not the soft kind of rulership. Or you don't agree? You agree? Everybody, 19 cities, everywhere. We don't know whether you brought it from Cote d'Ivoire or you brought it from Afghanistan or you brought it from everywhere, 19 cities. We have a right to determine our prices, determine all these things. It's just like a pastor. Say, I accept all nonsense. How are you going to grow? Take your seats. That's where you get the notion. Remember, I told you from the very onset, it connotes a certain subduing. It's a military term, actually. Connoting a certain form of insistence and warrior mentality. That's why you have the warrior shepherd. Because it connotes that there's a certain form of rulership that comes with it. You come to church late, you say, you should be smiling at you. Aww. Your life is not in the right direction. We give you a responsibility to do, you don't do it. Tell your friend, let's be serious. Let's be serious. Say, are you going to be serious? See, when you are put on duty, are you going to be serious? Let's be serious. Let's be serious. Ruler. And there's also, oh, it's good to see you on a Sunday morning. Nice to see. That's also another. You see, David with the sheep is playing, you know, loving the sheep. The lion appears. He's trying to devour the sheep. That lion symbolically might be just you playing around. Because it's devouring your life, you see. See, it eats you up. And it takes you away from God's plan as a sheep. It causes your existence to be zero. Maybe there's an attitude. Huh? There's an attitude that will not help you. Say, that one, this one, that one will not help you. Stop. Allow us to do our own thing. One church you attend, you can't breathe. You can't breathe. Are you able to breathe? You're able to breathe. I mean, there's oxygen here, so why? When you you find yourself have a good pastor that can look to your face and correct you, you are very blessed. Not somebody who looks at you and is afraid of you. Afraid of you. Who has a child and is afraid of the child? Afraid to correct. Afraid to rebuke. Afraid to instruct. Afraid to tell you're not doing it right. You're not afraid. I mean, would you have a child and you be afraid to correct the child? Of course not. Or you have a child, but you are afraid to correct the child. You see, you can see very well that this thing is not supposed to be done. The child is doing it, but you are afraid to correct the child. You are becoming as well strong shepherds. Yes. First of your own life. Afraid to correct, should be smiling at you and say, oh, you should be smiling at you. Makes us a shepherd. You come to church. About 20 minutes, you have slept. From the beginning, you don't even motivate me to teach. And I'll see you. And then I'll say, let's teach. Let's continue to teach. Because I'm afraid to tell. Me, I tell to stand up when they are sleeping. I don't think I... But if I see you sleeping, I'll tell you, stand up. Everybody should see that you are sleeping. You came to church to sleep. You don't like my message, you see. Because you want to... I should allow you to sleep. Allow you to sleep. See, it's a ruler. You see... Why are we not allowed to do what we can? I remember, sit down. I saw a guy some time back. And I saw him doing something. And I said, it's very sad if you have a pastor. The pastor knows you are doing something wrong. And he can't like correct you. But he looks at you and he's smiling with you. There's nobody here like that. And it doesn't matter how old you are. Let me say this very clearly in this place. Nobody is older than the pastor. Yes. So if you think you are too old to be giving instructions in the church, open the door. Open the door. Can the door be open? Have you seen the door is open? Out. Say, I'm too old to be instructed. If you think what we are doing here is for children, don't come. Don't come here. And I'm not afraid of you. I want you to know that. If you bring your, I'll respect, I'll honor, but I'm not afraid to tell you that what you are doing is wrong. You see someone coming to the church, innocently, he's coming to sleep around with girls. If I get you, move from here. But warrioring, shepherding, sleeping around with innocent girls, you lie to them, you sleep with them, and I get you. Me, I sack from church. I want you to just know that I can tell that there's a church not too far from here. So, I'll write the pastor's number for you. Go to that church. We can't say that what you are doing is wrong. I'm talking about rulership. But I'm talking about a certain kind of rulership. And there's another kind of rulership. That one, you like it. But I'm not led to talk on that one today. You love the soft, the touching. And if you know me, I probably am more of that kind of rulership than I'm talking to you. Yes. If you know me, I'm more of that kind of rulership. But I'm telling you that there is also another kind of rulership. Take your seats. And that is what God is raising us to become. You know that we cannot enforce the gospel if we do not preach it passionately and lively. So he's calling us to subdue, to have dominion. It's like I knew that my sermon would go this way. So every church needs a strong voice. Let me tell you something. I want you to love a very strong leader. Don't fight a strong leader. Love a strong leader. You will prosper and you will do well than you ever thought. Yeah. So why am I doing this and pastor is still smiling? I feel recalcitrant. I feel stubborn. But pastor still smiles. There are other churches who have pastors say, allow everything, let's not, it'll be fine, let's not do this. Is that what you want? I don't want that, honestly, because that leads to destruction. That's not lead anywhere. So God has made us priests and kings. That was actually a detour away, but I was just speaking more on rulership. And that was not my emphasis actually. So we're priests and kings. Listen to me, people of God. There's a time that we receive. It's time to give. Are you listening? It's called shepherds. There's a time where we are taught, it's time for us to teach. There's a time where we lead none. It's time for us to lead someone. And we have to respond. Many of the times we are very overcome by our own burdens. So we are not able to respond to this call of being a king. But it's necessary. Are you listening? That's what we have been called to. That's what we have been summoned to. That's what we have been called to. We have been chosen by God to be rulers. To be shepherds. To teach in the way that the people should go. One time, two shepherds found themselves before a riverbank. And, they had thousands of sheep, both of them. They had thousands of sheep. So when they got to the river, all their sheep, mixed with other sheep. Two of them. So how are they going to know which one is my sheep? Of course, sometimes when you have a dominant color of white on both sides. Do you know what one shepherd just started to do? He just started to sing. And suddenly, when he began singing, all the shepherds, I mean, all the sheep began to move in the direction that it was doing just by singing. Yeah. Just begins to sing. Just begins to sing. And every sheep is dissociating themselves. That is what God has called us to do. He's called us to preach His word, to cause sheep to listen to what He has given us to preach. So David has been a prophetic example. He tended for the flock. He protected them from predators. He served as king of Israel. Look at that shot. 1 Samuel 16. Tendering for the flock. And I'm telling you that this is what you are supposed to do. Are you listening? This is what you are supposed to do. This is what you're supposed to do. 1 Samuel 16, verses 11. How many of us are going to tender? Being said, no, God has called me to be a tenderer. Let me see my hand. That's the call. When you stand before Him, He's going to ask you, did you dress and keep? Did you rule and reign? You know, many of the times, people think our rulership is with the world. Our rulership is not with the world. No. The world, they have their God. The best we can do is to preach to them. So David is found taking care. First Samuel 16, verses 11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, I hear all thy children. And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, the keeper. He keepeth the sheep. He keepeth the sheep. He's tendering for the sheep. How many of us have disciples? I'm telling you that this is the heart of God. Is to tend for them. Is to keep them. You know, the sheep are going to be infected by so many things. But there's a responsibility on us to tend. Are you going to tend? Are you going to tend? Now, I'm actually looking at this. I said, oh, couldn't you have addressed this before the ushers? No. Everybody's a worker here. We don't have, this person is a segregated person. This person also comes to church once in a while. We want to make everybody a worker. It's my goal. Yes. Everybody should work for God. So me teaching it like this helps address everyone. So get back to it. He's a tender. A tender, a keeper. Of the flock. He's taking care of them. The sheep can call him. He loves. He cares. He takes care of. And these are people. How many people will call you and say, this person me. My heart is broken. I feel like I won't survive it in the whole world again. A tender. Maybe then you say, oh, to be well with you. God is with you. Don't forget the word of God says He's with you. Say, no, I won't survive. And the tender, the keeper is there. So it is well. Some of the things you say is, there are several other men around, you'll be fine. So that's a tender. You care for. You protect. Huh? You protect. Oh, sorry, you care for. Because we'll come to protection. You care for. You are concerned about. See, I've not eaten. I'm talking about real truth. Don't lie. Because there are some very skillful sheep too. I'm not eating. I said, wow. You know, I'm not saying this, but I'm not eating. Say, getting tomatoes, get this, get that, get rice. It'll be okay. And you say, eat it well, okay? That's it, tender. So you are taking care. Do you see that? That's the call. God wants us to care and tend for ourselves. He's not created anybody to be in isolation in any way. No way. To tend. But there's turbulence in my home. Say, let's pray about it. Let's trust God with you. Everything is going to be fine. I'm sick. Say, you be well. Let me come and pray with you. In Jesus' name, you are healed now. That's a tender. You know why? Because God wants to care for each and every one of his people. And he cannot come do that himself. So he makes us all carers of us all. You see that? That's the goal. He makes us all carers of us all. So you find David reaching, taking care of a sheep. To an extent where he doesn't even know there's a meeting. Simon. Because they won't tell him. He's so enthused about sheep. He's not so much interested in family affairs. Some of us are interested in our bedrooms only. Listen, in this call, you go past your bedrooms. And that's why I had Reverend Nyanka say this. He says that there's a time a minister can be sick. Ministers shouldn't get sick, but there's a time a minister can be sick. But yet still, he's still praying for others to get healed. I heard a couple of weeks ago, I was like, wow, I don't like sickness. But it happens. Well, you're saying be healed. The person is healed of cancer, but maybe you have a migraine headache standing there. He makes us keepers of one another. The shepherd can have a broken heart, yet he's helping somebody else who has a broken heart. Cash. It's like that advice you need it for yourself. But somebody also needs it. Has little 50 CDs, but there's another person that needs 25 of your 50, or sometimes even 30, sometimes even 40. It happens. I keep up.
Why? They tell you they need it urgent.
That's what we are called to. You'd be amazed that in doing that, will fulfillment come? Because that's the call. You need praise, but you are up praying for other people who also need praise. Somebody's home is in a mess. Yours probably might be in a mess, but you're trying to help that person. So we see this exemplified in David 17:15. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. He goes for duty, he comes back to feed them. So number one, you're going to tend for the flock. Everybody, not somebody, not the pastor, only. Remember, he's made us all kingdom of priests and kings to have rule. Number two is to protect them from predators. We see that in 1 Samuel 17:30, number 4. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. What did David do? He's a warrior shepherd here. He went after him, smote him, delivered him out of his house. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard, smote him, and slew him. That looks like very dangerous, right? Yeah. He's fighting. When you see things happening around with your disciples, it's time to fight with them and to fight for them. Are you listening? That's why God has raised you. That's why God has raised us. That's what God called us to do. It's protecting from predators. Protecting from sicknesses. That's why you find me at the end of the service speaking up against you. It's not against, it's not pride. Like, why is he so proud? You think so? You'll be amazed at what those words do to you and they do for you at the last service, which I stand as your shepherd to suck away every fly by my voice. It's how we do that. Yes. To speak words of blessing over your life where there is supposed to be something else. There's a blessing of the shepherd. It comes from the shepherd. Only the shepherd can do that. It is well with you. It's the blessing of a pastor. That's my responsibility to you. And you have a responsibility to others as well. So he's protecting them from predators. Predators that want to eat the sheep. Certain characters. Attitudes. Behaviors. Lifestyle. Advice, counsel. You come to me and say, Pastor, Pastor, say, hey, why are you happy like this? Pastor, Pastor, hey, Pastor, Pastor, my bank account. And I say, Pastor, I'm so happy I've been able to do this. Okay, what is it? Pastor, I told you I was in love with so-so and so. Pastor, in my whole life, my 4 years savings since I started working, Pastor, to the glory of God, I've cleared it and I've given it to this sister. I've emptied it. It's empty. Say, why did you do that? Pastor, she had always been telling me she wanted a Brazilian wig. And I was very determined to get it for her on her birthday. On top of that, I got her some clothes. Some beautiful stuff. Pastor, they were 5 boxes. Pastor, I'm so happy. I've been looking at you like this. My son is in trouble. I was like, you emptied your bank account. Yes, Pastor, I did. I see. Wahoo. You emptied your bank account. For what? Brazilian? Peruvian? Mongolian? Singaporean? Sit down. Some of you, you are listening to me in the crowd, but you have bought iPhone for somebody before. Some of you are listening to me. Hey. Oh, I see. things you do for love. Things you do for love. Things you do for love. Every week, Saturday, you're at a top restaurant or something. Meanwhile, I know your pain. Take your seat. A warrior shepherd is going to see that his son is in the mouth of a lion. You know, I told you that story that comforts the lady who left the young man. And he got up and he going to bend the whole town. True life story. True life story. The whole, like, we are here. He has set everybody's knee up. And he has bent everything. And they ask now, why did you bend everybody's knee? Because she left me. What has leaving you got to do with that? She has, everywhere has been bent. How will you explain this? Yeah. A shepherd. So you see, you're going to fight. Is it me? When you see me, you don't think I'm a fighter until you try to fight me. So you will never know. You will never know that I can really fight until you try to take my member. You try to hurt, try to speak against, try to chastise, try to fight. Then that's when you now see. That's when you now see that I can really fight. Say, oh, he looks very weak. Just be saying that. Just try it. Either in the physical or in the realm of the spirit. Anywhere is allowed. Anywhere. We'll give you uppercut. Warrior shepherds protecting the flock. Yeah, sometimes you have to protect the flock from laziness also. There are things to protect the flock from. Some of you, when you, the course you are studying, it will not help you. So as a protector, I'll say that this course, it will not really help you. So they are fights. They are fights. You are full of boldness. Yeah. You'll be soft as a lamb. As a lamb smiling. Until someone tries to destroy the church. That's when you see that we can fight. We'll kick you out of the church. And I have several fighters here. And the women fighters. You see? Don't tell pastor. We are doing this. Let's keep it a secret for a short while. Don't inform pastor. Keep it. Let's keep it a secret. I don't even know what to say, so let's continue. Let's keep it a secret. Let's keep our relationship a secret. Let's not allow anybody know. Today, meet me at the restaurant.
Hey, my God.
So, have you seen that
pastor is very proud. He talks like the world is for him. Don't tell him I said that.
If we get you, we are going to protect from predators. You know, someone told me some time ago that the person had a lead to go and see someone at the hostel. Right? And the person went. And the person saw that the sheep had a paper that the person didn't know. That the paper was going to be written that same time. So he gets there. Oh, how are you? Are you preparing? Oh, no. Do you have a paper today? No. Do you have a paper today? Are you sure? That's the person's maybe graduation year or something. If he did not visit and go there to find out what is going on. Some of you cry in your rooms. Then just the new people, you cry in your room, then you come out and you are looking, but you go back into your room, you cry. So what's wrong? This is what God is calling us all to do. Tips in their bags and things. God is calling us all to be keepers of one another. You see, we'll never give up on anyone. I never give up on people. Unless you want to give up on yourself. And even with that, I'll not allow you. Is to fight to keep relationships. So shepherds are going to be fighters. I just want to commit you. A shepherd should be there to protect, to fight for the sanity and the minds of the people. He's calling us all to this. I'm telling you, it's a glorious call. It's to be giving to the work of ministry. He's made us priests. He's made us prophets. He's made us shepherds. Actually, I slipped off into that. Prophets is the next one we'll deal with. All have been made these. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, I woke up one day and somebody's thought came to my mind. And I met the person. The person was going through a lot. And I said, Lord, I'll never give up on this person. And I envisioned the person on my mind. And I said, this person is going to serve God. This person is going to serve God. And I told God, maybe I was saying it to myself, I will make sure this person becomes a pastor. It's never to give up. It's to war till the sheep fulfill and are kept safe. They are kept safe and they fulfill what God wants them to fulfill. Take a few seconds. We are almost done. Today I will not minister to you. Spirit. Rulers and kings. But before we do, see 2 Samuel. Second Samuel. Everybody must get busy with this. And no wonder that he tells us to go and make disciples of all nations. Matthew 28. Preaching the gospel to every creature. Making sure that they all are taught is a shepherd. Is a pastor. Is somebody that tends. That offers help, that cares for Jesus. See, don't be confused. He's called you for this. In 2 Samuel, are you there? In chapter number 5. Verse 1. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Verse 2. Also, in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that leadest out and broughtest in Israel. He leads out and he brought us in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be captain over Israel. He's made you a leader, a captain, a ruler, a king over Israel. Then he says, So all the elders of Israel came to the king, to Hebron, and to King David. Was to protect, to feed, to bring them out and to bring them in. And this is what God has made you. Right now, I want you to just pray in the spirit for the next few seconds. For the next few seconds. Father, we give thanks and glory.